talk on it a lot. I make them, and I stand on them. Hallelujah. So you got to make quality decisions based on the Word of God after you're born again. And that decision, a quality decision, is a decision that you make because you know what the Scripture says, and you're not going to back down from it. You're going to make that, you make that conscious decision, and I mean you walk it out. No matter what it looks like in the natural, what people say, what, you know, you stick with the Bible. You stick with that Word, and then you meditate on it when things comes up. You get under pressure, you know, or whatever. You let that Word, if it, I mean, the more that you meditate on the Word, not to be religious. Meditate on the Word to as part of your relationship with your walk with God. You know, you're not doing it for religious reasons, to impress nobody, you know, or anything like that, or really to grow spiritually. You will grow spiritually if you have faith in God based on the Word, and you meditate on that Word because you have decided if God's Word says no weapons formed against you will prosper, then you meditate on that until that gets past your mind and gets down into your heart. And then when some kind of hardship comes up, you've made a quality decision that no weapons based on the Word will prosper against you. And even if it looks like it's prospering, you stand and you declare that out of your mouth. Call those things that be not as though they were. You say it. And your saying is you affirming your faith. Your saying it is it's helping you. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. It comes by hearing. I've been challenged in almost every arena that I can think of over the last 28 years concerning God's Word. And God's Word is under attack right now more than I've ever seen it in my 29 and a half or 30 years of ministry. But you know what? That is not going to change me. And you should not let this culture change you. Don't let the culture mold you. Don't let your thoughts mold you. Don't let the enemy come in and mold you to the way things feel and the way things seem. And the only way to do that is have quality choices made. I made a quality choice back in 1995 that Deuteronomy 8:18, I think it is. Anyhow, it says, you went through the fire, you went through the flood. Men rode over your, but I brought you out to a wealthy place, an abundant place. And so I meditated on that. Psalm 66:12. Thank you, Holy Ghost. See, that's what I'm talking about. Meditation. Your mind don't know. I mean, it can't. There's no way. But He writes it in your heart, and then the Holy Spirit will bring it up, and you don't have to wonder why you remember it. Because He brings, and so anyhow, I made a conscious decision back yonder when my life was messed up. I mean, if your life is messed up right now, you are in a good place because you are setting or you are listening to the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is the power of God. It's power to save, power to set free, power to heal, power to transform. The power to get anybody that trusts God based on the Word of God. I'm not talking about when it's easy. Everybody would do it if it was easy. It is not. It's always a challenge. But the more that you grow and develop and you make quality decisions, you stand on them, the stronger you get. This world don't have to change. And your circumstances don't have to change. The Word of God is all the evidence me and you need to know after we're born again to know that we have victory. Know that we can have victory. But you know what? I mean, it's not up to God. I mean, He sent His Son Jesus. And I mean, brought us back in relationship with Him through His Son Jesus. And I mean, you read Isaiah, I mean, He took it all on Him. Not just sin. He took it all on Him. He took our pain. He took poverty. The man wasn't broke. I've heard the churches over the years, and I'm not getting on churches and judging. But what I did learn through Christianity somewhat, churches, is they don't even know what the Bible says about what's going on in their hearing. But I've heard people say, well, you know, Jesus didn't have nowhere to lay his head. He was 30 when he started his ministry. He did have somewhere to lay his head up till he was 30. Jesus was not broke. I heard preachers, well, Jesus was broke, you know. He wasn't broke. Judas stealing money from him. He had people counting his money. But see, what the enemy does, he uses that to get us to believe that Jesus didn't take on poverty, that we could live a good life financially. And it's not about our jobs. It's about the blessing. Proverbs 10:22 says you need to make a quality Bible-based decision that you are going to walk in the blessing. The blessing is simply, in a short form, an empowerment from God to succeed. To be successful in your ministry, to be successful in your marriage, to be successful with your kids and your grandkids, not just money. Money will come. When challenges come, you know, I mean, you can't lay down and falter. Once you lay down what you're doing, you're laying down the word. You're laying down your faith. And the Bible says in Ephesians that we can take the shield of faith. Faith is a shield. That's why it's important. But, you know, walking without God and even listening to the world, you know, you'll train yourself to worry. I'm not even getting gray-headed. I don't know why that's people getting gray-headed. If it's because they worry, I don't know. That's an old saying, you know. People get gray-headed and they say, ooh, you've been a worrier all your life, ain't you? Somebody asked me not too long ago, they said, are you dyeing your hair? And I said, no, it's all natural. I catch you now, nah, you got to be kidding. I said, no, it's all natural. You know, I said, one thing that I found out, if worrying gets you gray-headed, that's why mine ain't turning. The Bible says don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry. See, now I made a quality decision. I'm back to quality decision. I made a quality decision based on that word. And right after I did that, I was in amongst about four ministers of the gospel, and they were talking about the devil. And they were talking about the devil in church and blah, blah, blah. And they were talking about, they said, well, we're worried. And I said, not supposed to be worrying. They said, you worry. And I said, I don't worry about nothing. I said, the Bible commands me not to worry. The Bible says I don't have to worry. Now, I mean, and they were so ingrained in to worry till they looked at me and said, you got to worry about something. I said, no, you do. That's enough. Well, what I'm saying here is whenever you make quality decisions, a lot of times here comes your challenge. Here comes your challenge. And what you do with that challenge is going to determine whether that quality decision works in your future or not. The devil believes and trembles. So I told him, I said, you're not supposed to fear. I'm not getting on to y'all. Worry y'all if you want to. Worry if you want to. You can worry. I said, I worried all my life. I said, now I'm at peace. I said, I've got confidence that God's going to see me through, that God's going to take care of me and my family, that God's going to take care of my wife if something happened to me, that God's going to take care of me financially. Now, the challenges have come and told me he's not. In the natural, finances, not ever having enough. I remember about 3 years we went through, I couldn't get caught up for any. I mean, it felt like to me this is a non-ending right here. I mean, I can't make enough to pay everything up. You know, and I thought, man, I don't know about this faith thing. This is the challenges you're going to have. And I thought, nope, glory to God, I'm not going to limit God like they did in the wilderness in Psalm 78. The Bible says they turned back in their hearts and limited the Holy One of Israel. But he told them all back before that, he said, take my word. He said, read it. He said, meditate on it. My word. He told them all of that. He said, that told Joshua that. And he said, you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Reason why he said that is because when we are word-minded and God-minded, we make different choices. Because God's already with us. Jesus said he would never leave you or forsake you, that he would be with you all the way to the end. But just like Dave, I appreciate that. It takes courage to share that kind of stuff. You know, but the body needs to hear that in these days. If you don't obey the Lord, things are not going to be well with you. That's not a bad saying. But if we obey the Lord, but most of the time people don't obey the Lord is because they lean to their own understanding. They think they're too tired, or they can't do ministry, or whatever the case might be. Or they're never going to come out, or things are never going to change. Just like teenagers. Y'all need to honor your mother and father. That Bible says that is the first command in there with promise. He promises you something. What does it mean to honor them? Well, they're just old fogey. No, they're not. You will one day grow up and get married, and you will have kids, and they will tell you the same thing. So they're not. Our parents told us. We told our kids that. I mean, our kids told us that. And we said that about our parents. They just got old and fogey and don't want to have no fun. No, they were seasoned. Come on, somebody that done been through life and done found out, you know, that stability is a... So honoring your father and mother brings God's favor with you. It brings God's favor on you. I don't care if you're 2 or you are 15 or you are 18 or you are 68. The Bible says honor your mother and father. Now, they might not even be honorable. And it's not about you go do things for them necessarily. It is, but it don't have to be that. It's have it in your heart that you're going to honor them. Let them live their own ungodly life, but you keep honoring your heart that whatever God tells you, he will do. Because one day you might be the very one that brings deliverance to your parents. You might be the very one that needs God's favor, and because you've honored God, God will bring that favor when you need it. And not only that, he will bless you now. He'll cause you to be smart in school. I don't really want to be smart, really. Yeah, no, man, be wise in the Lord. Wisdom, the Bible says that the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you reverence, that don't mean be scared of God. That means I'm going to honor my mother and father. That's when you start to obtain wisdom. And parents, the Bible says, provoke not your children to anger. I used to do it with Travis because I thought it was funny, and I read that in Proverbs, and I'm like, oh, man, God just took all the fun out of this. I would think make things would be funny to me, getting him upset and this and that, you know, but it was causing him to be angry, you know. And so I stopped doing that. I thought the Bible says not to provoke him to anger. And so I'm going to try. See, that was making a quality decision. Me and you have to make quality decisions when God brings something out to us in that Bible while we're reading, whether it's our marriage. You know, I used to put myself first when it come to my marriage. I thought, Tracy, she ain't working nothing, man, sitting around sucking up the air conditioning. I'm paying all the bills and blah, blah, blah. Then if it was 2 or 3 Debbie cakes up there, I would take them because I'm working, she's staying at home. And this seems like a little thing. Well, I read that scripture where it says, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. And I started meditating. I thought, I can't do that. How can I do that? Jesus gave his life for the church. He said, I know. He said, I know. He said he gave his life for the church. He said, well, give your life for her. That's what he told me in 1996. And I thought, well, okay, Lord, whatever. I'm going to get in agreement with it. I don't know how to do it. I didn't know how to do it. You know, man? And so I go in there. The first little thing there was one Debbie cake left. And Teresa has always enjoyed Debbie cakes. I mean, enjoyed them suckers, you know. And so I'm going to work, you know, and I would usually take me some for snack, you know. And she's still in the bed, and I open the cabinet, and I'm looking there at that, and I thought, man, there's just one in there. And I thought, well, she's here. She'd go to the store or something, man. I mean, you know, I got to go work, and she's going to sleep till dinner, I guess. I don't know. This is way back under, you know. And all of a sudden, I thought, that's what it's about right here. And so I denied myself. I denied myself that Debbie cake, whatever it was, brownie. I denied myself, and I left, and I felt like an anointing came on me. I felt like an anointing came on me because now I'm honoring the Word. I'm honoring God. There ain't nobody there but me in there. I mean, I'm not at church, you know, nothing like that. But I felt an anointing, and I'm like, gosh, is this what it feels like to honor God, to honor, you know? And then before you know it, I started having desires for her to drive better than me. I mean, I had desires never for her to be under any hardship or anything, you know. If I could help it, if it was under, and I'm like, this is not normal. See, the word, the supernatural works on quality decisions. And until you experience, I'm a free man. It made me a free man. It made me a free man that in that area right there. Praise God. I mean, I have faith now to believe God, just whatever she wants. I tell her, whatever you want, baby. She talked about 2010 Camaro for years. I went to her one day and I said, do you want it? I said, we'll get it. We'll believe God for it. It's just the flesh, Mac. She don't want a 2010 Camaro, you know. And that's not my point. My point is, used to, I'd be like, get up and get a job, Jack. 2010 Camaro, you know how much they are? And she don't want a V6. She want room. I just jacked it up about $25,000. Man, I can get an $8,000 V6. Cheaper on gas too, Mac, but no. I'm not going to sound like, room. She wants room when it cranks up, which I don't blame her. But my point in that, I was willing to believe God if that's the desire of her heart. And I believe she hears from the, and you know what? She honors me. She started honoring me back before I started probably honoring her. I mean, I think she irons my socks. I mean, the woman don't let me come to church wrinkled or nothing. I mean, she goes in and lays my clothes out by her own will, and she asks the Lord, what do you want him to wear today? I mean, that you know, and I'm like, man, I would be dumb to get rid of this woman. I mean, she talks to God about what I'm going to wear to church. You know? She won't let me wear shorts where you can see my underwear from the back pocket's been wore out. Now, it might be a little thing there. But she wants me to dress nice. See, and you know what? When you delight yourself in the Lord, when you make quality decisions based on the Word of God, He says, delight yourself, and you're delighting yourself in the Lord. He said, He'll give you the desires of your heart. He said, commit your ways to me. Don't take the brownie cake. And I'll bring it to pass. I'll eat all of them I want now. There's never just one in the cabinet. There ain't none in there because them little demons had to go a long time ago. It was demon made chocolate brownies with sprinkles on top. Woo! Trying to kill me. Yeah. Praise God. But he began to give wisdom in eating. If breakthroughs come when you make quality decisions in whatever you make that in. I made up my mind that I was going to be blessed, that I'd never be broke again another day in my life. And I stopped saying out of my mouth, I'll never have any money. I won't never be anything. I won't never be able to afford. I stopped all of that. I never told that boy back there, and he's 30 years old right now, he never heard out of my mouth not one time that we can't afford to get him a car. I didn't have the money. But I told him all of his life, we can have whatever God says. Now see, you fast and you pray and you find out what God's saying, finding the will of God, then faith is in the will of God, whatever it is, and then you stand on it. Y'all teenagers need a car, don't depend on mom and them. Nothing wrong with mom and them buying you one. But believe God. Go get you a steering wheel cover instead of buying them 5 Mountain Dews. Invest those three mountain dews in a steering wheel cover and hang it up on your doorknob or on your mirror when you're never putting your makeup on and brushing y'all's young hairs and getting all cracky for to look good. Walk out there and say, glory to God, I look good in the natural and I'm really going to look good in my car, Lord, that gets here that steering wheel cover fits on. I know that might sound silly, but the Bible says don't lean. Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord. And that is you saying, God, my car will come. I've got the steering wheel cover. And go to school and say, ha ha, my car is nearly here. What color is it? Well, I ain't sure yet. I didn't, praise God. Well, how do you know you got it? Because I already got the steering wheel cover. They'll be like, good Lord, there's a Fruit Loop. They must go to Faithway over there. It must be nowhere to think well a little bit. Well, don't the Bible say in Hebrews 11, he says, now faith is the substance of the things you hope for. It is the title deed. It is the car. Faith is the car that you're hoping to get, that you know hope. That word hope, some people are like, well, I hope it works out. That's not that kind of hope. The hope that is in there is I know that God will come through and bring me a blessing. Hallelujah. You've got to make quality decisions. Satan will tell teenagers, well, you're just too young for all this. Give me a Bible scripture for it. Can't find it in the Bible. If you can't find it in the Bible, then it's a lie. And the Bible says for you to cast down those thoughts, those imaginations that exalts itself above God's word and bring those thoughts into captivity. Do something with them. Bring that thought down and come out of your mouth and say, nope, glory to God, my God. Whatever it is that you're facing, have you some Bible verse. Come back with it. Well, that seems so silly. That's why it don't work for a lot of folk. I'm telling you right now, God's word, there ain't nothing wrong with the word. Nothing wrong with the power of the word. The issue is, well, God called those things that be not. And he says, as he is, so are we. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, when he was led up into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil, the Bible says. And the Bible says he was hungered. He had been his fasting, evidently, and had no food or nothing. And the devil come to him and begin to bring thoughts to him. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones. Take care of yourself here, man. Figure this thing out, the devil. Same thing you did to Eve. Just a different way. But Jesus come back with what? The Word of God. He said, it is written, Satan, man shall not live by bread alone. Deuteronomy 8:3. Man shall not live by bread alone. And you know what? I meditated on that, and I told the Lord, I said, I'm not going to live on natural substance, praise God. I'm not going to live on this natural world and lean on it. I'm going to learn how, and I still am today. I'm not perfected. I got a lot I'm working on. I mean, I'm working on a lot. Don't think I'm standing up here, got this thing mastered, and I don't have any challenges, and I don't need to grow, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that Scotty can grow thereby. I don't care how long I've been in it, how long I've been preaching. And once you make quality decisions, you're just like everybody else. You must maintain them. You must guard the word. The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows your car. Out of it flows your healing. Out of it flows your forgiveness. Out of it flows your love. Hallelujah. And you know what? If you really want to walk in faith, you got to walk in love. The Bible says in Galatians 5:6 that faith works by love. Faith is energized by love. So therefore, you can't hold unforgiveness. You cannot. I don't care what anybody's done to you. And now this takes faith. You got to say, Lord, your word says forgive, Lord. Lord, I got to go not by how I feel. Don't the Bible say the just shall live by what? Faith. Confidence that you can. And every one of us will have these opportunities. You just don't know what they've done to me. Well, ask somebody what somebody's done to them. You'd be shocked. It's worse than what you got. And they forgave, and they're walking in love, and they don't even have thoughts of it most of the time. When they do, they cast them down because they know it's Satan just trying to get it. It's like Matt telling me about a story today. He said, sometimes I have to remind myself of who I am now and who I was. That's all of us. Now you got to find out who you are. Well, I know who I am. I'm Scotty Weston. Nah, that's your natural identity. The Bible says you are a child of the Most High. The Bible says that you are kings and priests unto God, people that are in authority. The Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. The Bible says you can do all things. You can forgive. You can honor your parents. You can honor your children and your grandchildren. I go out of the church and I make it a habit most of the time. Not really a habit, I just do it. And I walk around the church and I pray, you know, and I pray over this service and different things, you know, and invite the Holy Spirit and yield myself to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I'm here, I'm yours, Lord. Use me tonight, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit have his way, you know, and I'm going to yield to you. And, you know, we all need to be that way whether you're fixing to preach or not. When you read the Word of God, you need to tell the Lord, Lord, take your Word and put it in the tablets of my heart, Lord. He said he would no more write it upon stones, but he would write it upon the tables of our hearts. That means he'll supernaturally implant it in there, and it becomes revelation by the Spirit quickened. And it's kind of like going to the doctor, and your glands are all swelled up, and they shoot you some penicillin in there. Just not long, it starts affecting your body. That's the way the Word and revelation does. Well, anyhow, little lady, I told him, I said, because I was going to go out while he was coming, bringing my water, and I said, take my water up to the pulpit. You want to take it up there for me? Yeah, Papa, I'll take it. And I noticed he walks a couple steps and he looks back. And I mean, he's running. I thought, hell, he's going with me. And he beats me to the door. And he said, where are you going, Papa? And I said, well, I'm going out. I'm going with you. Go out. And he said, what are you doing, Papa? And I said, well, I'm praying. And so he's walking down there beside me. And I'm just praying, talking to the Lord and everything. And I got down in the building. And I said, in Jesus' name. He said, in Jesus' name, Papa, amen. Profound. Now, I really didn't want him to go with me. I mean, I like my prayers unhindered. And he likes to talk. And Papa, and he's five, man. I mean, the boy's full of questions, and he knows everything, and him and Aubrey. And they, you gonna teach them a song, they already know it. They can't even sing it. But what I'm saying is that he's learning. He's learning by us. He's learning by you. He's over there. He looks up at Sandy for 2 weeks. She's got her hands up worshiping the Lord. He looks up at her. Before you know it, one hand was up. And then he says the words that he knows. Don't know them yet. He can't read it. And now I notice this evening, he's got both hands up. And he ain't looking up at her no more. See? Now you might think that's just a flesh thing, but no. We are training a generation to worship. We're training a generation. This is normal. That serving God's normal. That fasting is normal. That obeying God is normal. It's normal to be anointed. It's normal to have more than enough. It's normal to be strong in the Lord. It's normal to have your hope in a future in the hands of a God that created the universe, that created me and you. Because our future, Jeremiah 29:11, you can put it up there, Beth. She has a whole notebook, and I'll never get to but usually one scripture. For I know the plans. Thoughts means plans. That I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a hope and a future. Expected in means a hope and a future. And the Lord spoke to me one time. I heard that scripture. A guy preach on it. So I went and got my Bible. How many knows that's a good thing to do when something means something? Somebody preaches and something means something. Go get your Bible. Don't just run out there and forget it, or get up and forget it. I went in early and I'm reading that, and I'm like, glory to God. God has plans for us. I'd always heard Satan has plans for us. Well, I was in his plans up till 27. But now I've jumped over into the kingdom, me and Teresa did, and we started working out the plan. And the Lord said, you got to seek me for my plan. He said, you don't know what your future is. He said, so you must seek me and be willing to obey me. And, you know, and I told Teresa the other day, you know, I was talking about, leadership, you know, God raising up leaders. You know, the greatest leaders are the ones that serves. Through servanthood, God raises up that ministry. God does it. God anoints it. God favors it. God favors that person. I couldn't help myself. Once I knew that I was called to preach, everybody wanted me to go and open a church. And I'm like, nah, man. I mean, because I had an anointing, man. I mean, I'd go preach on finance. Somebody give in that service, they'd be anointing there, and they all increasing. And I'd be like, oh, yeah. And they'd say, boy, you're anointing. I'd say, no, God, I'm not nothing. No, God. I said, God uses me to meet the needs of his people. End of quote. Well, don't get high-minded. Don't let the enemy get in there. Well, anyhow, they'd be, oh, open church. Went down there one time on the streets. I've been saved about a year and a half. Lady come up to me. She says, oh, we done found the building. You're our pastor. You're our pastor, and blah, blah, blah. Talk to me just a minute. And I said, the only problem with that, I ain't heard God tell me nothing about it. I said, I ain't heard God tell me nothing. But you're anointed. I said, I can't find in the Bible where I do my own will and God anoints it. I said, but I can find in the Bible where Jesus himself said, I come not to do my own will, but of the will of him that sent me. And so I learned, because they had a bracelet, WWJD, back yonder, you know, I started wondering what would Jesus do. So I started integrating that into my life, praise God. You know, and I thought Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. And then I went to the scriptures where Paul wrote, he said, those that are led, Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So whenever I told him, I said, I will not be your pastor. I said, I've not heard God tell me nothing. And I believe he would tell me before he would tell you. I said, besides that, I said, I would have to abandon my servanthood. I would have to abandon my church. I would have to abandon going to the jails connected to that church. I said, I would have to abandon, you know, me serving under my pastor and all that, you know. I said, no, I won't be. But here I am today. 21 years of victory. And I got victory. I came one night and nobody showed up, not even Teresa. Huh? Funeral or something. Nobody but me here. But you know what? I done been down yonder and killed a bear, killed a lion on the streets by myself, abandoned, rejected, and felt rejected, and felt like my church should have helped me and didn't get offended at them. See, look, you got to serve. A servant is not, I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it if it feels good. A servant says, no, whatever you need, that's what I'm going to do. As long as it's not ungodly. Be willing. Willing and obedient. We just covered it. If you be willing, you will be obedient. See, and look, beating yourself up over your past will keep you in doubt and unbelief. Your failures, you know, your flaws now. Don't focus in on all your flaws all the time. Faith brings you out. Faith helps you to get victory over your weaknesses, over things. I mean, I had this habit in my life for a lot of years, and I spent about 7 years confessing Romans over there, over my, that sin would have no dominion over me. You know, and finally, after about 8 years, so don't quit. If it takes a week, good. If it takes 10 years, good. Just don't quit. Because God's working. His word is working mightily in you. The reason why God's people turn loose of the word is because they don't see it immediately working. See, that's where you got to walk by faith. You got to say to yourself, I'm strong in the Lord when you feel weak. You got to say, I'm more than a conqueror when you feel defeated. You got to take these words whenever and use them. That's what they're there for. They're not there for us just to know them and say, "Woo, it's a good word in that Bible." No, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, you need to be seeking the Lord. God, what's your plan for me? And I know as a mama, a homemaker, You're to be the majority. You're to be, when those kids are young, you're the one, because you're there all the time, that should be putting godly precepts in them, that should be bringing God to them. You know, talk about it at lunchtime. Talk about it when they're going to school. Pray for them when they go to school. And then when it comes time, and Travis, I mean, come up and he's getting on up there in teenage years, it seemed like it was time for me to take over. So I know that a woman that has kids, your duty is to train up your kids in the admonition of the Lord and not speak doubt and unbelief in that house. They get enough of that at school. They get enough of that with their friends. They get enough of that with their vacation Bible school. Not all of them. A lot of them's entertaining the kids, not a lot of word. Now, I'm not knocking them, but we can't depend on the church. Somebody come to me one time, we're losing our teenager, we're in the church. I said, it was our church. I said, look, it's not the church's job to keep your kids in the Lord. I said, you can't depend on the church. The church is doing great. I'm one of them preaching to youth. Most of them youth were on fire, but you had a few out there that, you know, they... getting little boyfriends and girlfriends and getting caught up, and you know, they don't want to go to church. Why? They're not praying, reading. And you know what? I made a conscious decision when Travis was young that we're gonna read the Bible every day. And that boy, he hated it. We made him fast, not food. You're not playing your need, whatever it was, you know, you're going to fast for the Lord. Why? We made conscious decisions, not based on our emotions and what they thought and what he thought, that we're going to raise him up in the admonition of the Lord. And as the Lord reveals to us by our seeking him to know his will and his plan, well, then we're going to do it. And so every third time, it would be his time to pick out what chapter we're going to read. He found the shortest, I don't know how long it took him, but he found the shortest verse chapter in the Bible. I'm like, God, I didn't even know that was there. And I've been in a Bible student for a long, I mean, he was smart little whippersnapper, you know. But now look at him, 30 years old, praise and worship leader, bringing his kids to school. I can't take credit for it other than I made conscious decisions that I was going to be an example in front of him, you know. And so the Bible helps us to do it. So I didn't know how to be a father. I believe I've been a good one. I believe I made a lot of mistakes, but I'm pretty pleased, you know. But you know what? I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, I don't have a whole lot of examples, Lord, how to be a father, Lord. I said, Lord, help me, show me how to be a father. Show me how to be a husband. I want to know how to be a husband. See, I knew that he had plans for me. And I found out there, the Lord told me, he said, you're going to have to seek out my plan. He said, seek my will. He said, I'll reveal it as you read my word and you hear preaching and you walk, and I'll tell you what to do and I'll prompt you to do. Look, walking with Jesus is not really hard. And the more we grow in him and get to know him, the more that we're quick on what's right and not. I mean, choices, we make quick ones. We don't have to pray and fast for a week to know what to do. So the plans that God have toward us, but you know what? The Lord reminded me of this. Psalm 78, like Dave, he was talking about limiting God with my unbelief. Whatever you said, let come in. That's all of us. That's any of us. I'll backslide in a week and a half if I don't seek the Lord the way the demonic has turned up now. I've been in this 30 years. I know that if I just cut God off out of my life, just stop reading, stop praying, stop acknowledging God, week and a half, y'all wouldn't see me. I'd be back down yonder like I was. That's any of us. The Bible says, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be. Ask and you shall receive. Making quality decisions. Just like Romans 8:28. If you've got that one down, that right there will do you a lifetime. The Bible says, Paul said, for we know, he's telling the Romans, for we know he works all things together for the good to those that love him, to those that are called according to his purpose. You know what Satan told me one time? He said, you're not called according to his purpose. And I come back at him and I said, why did he save me then? If he saved you, you're called according to his purpose. Right? I mean, that thought come to me. That's why we got to cast down them thoughts that argue. If a thought comes to you and you're not really sure if this is God or not, go see if you can line it up with the Word. Go see if you can line it up. Google it. You can Google now. I mean, you can Google. I mean, Monty Googles. He got about, I don't know how many translations you got on there. He don't even know so many. He uses four. That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, right at your fingertips. Which I like the old school studying myself, you know. I mean, I like the Bible and Strong's Concordance, and I pay attention more, seems like, than just the Bible. I mean, Alp. Nothing wrong with the Alps. But when a thought comes to you and you're not sure that it's the Lord, I mean, Satan can say, well, he could tell me, Maymay looks weird to you all the time. She don't like you very well. And she may not ever had a bad thought towards me. You know? What scripture would I use to deal with that? 1 Corinthians 13. Love thinks no evil. Right? That's evil for me to think that without any proof. So I know that didn't come from the Lord. So I got to go over there and say, nope, based on 1 Corinthians 13, that's why you can't be Bible. You know, you need to know your Bible, know some of it. The more you know the Bible, the more that you read the Bible and think on the Bible and meditate on the Bible, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to reveal the plan that he has for you. Just like was going to give us a house, I was believing God for a house. I was believing God for a brick house with some land. And so I go to looking. I mean, I got all excited. I told Teresa, glory to God. God said it to me. He said I'd live in houses that I didn't build. And well, I'd drink out of wells that I didn't dig. But God, are we going to have a house? And you know, praise the Lord. And so I started riding the back. But you know what I did? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not moving off further than where I am from my church. I made a conscious quality decision that I'm not going to move off further from the church. Why? I was rallying in the will of God around the church because I knew the church was the will of God. And I knew the further I go, the further I'm going to have to drive and the more gas it's going to take. So I'd rather live a little closer. But I was factoring in the will of God in my decision making. So you got to factor in the will of God. One time it got rough in the business. Finances. I felt like I was less than a man. Behind, 3 months behind on everything that we had. We owed for everything. I mean, we got the potential to lose everything, you know. And I had this thought, you ain't no man. Thought you was a man. You go get a job then. Every man needs to work. And so I told Teresa, I said, well, bless God, maybe I need to go get a job, you know. She said, what did the Lord say? Good question. I hadn't considered it. I'm considering I'm behind on everything. I'm considering how much I don't feel like a man, that I'm not providing for my family. I'm thinking about, well, at least I could bring home, you know, $250 a week. It's better than nothing. She said, what did the Lord say? Nearly made me mad. How many knows when you're in the flesh, that'll make you mad? That'll make you mad. I mean, that gets on your nerves. Because, I mean, that's the best thing to do. Go ask him. So I said, well, he ain't said nothing. I said, the Lord ain't said nothing to me, but, so you got to keep all that but out of there. All that questioning, that reasoning, leaning to our own understanding. So I just geared up and I said, glory to God, he ain't said nothing for me, and I can't let my circumstances drive me to make decisions that God's not telling me to make. And so I hung in there, Sandy, and I learned how to be a steward over not having enough. See, my flesh is, I ain't paying none of it. I don't ever get nothing. Week after week, man. I can't have a hamburger from Jack's. It's stupid. I work every day. My. You know, but God was saying, no, take care of what's first. See, when you ain't got more than enough, read the Bible where it says be a good steward. Now you know what, but God, I eat all the hamburgers I want. I stepped out of there after I made a quality decision that I wasn't going past what I knew to be the will of God. Then, you know, I stood up on the inside in faith then. I said, you said you would supply all. I should have been doing that to start with. But I was learning and I'm learning. But don't let the circumstances cause you to cave when God brings you up and gives you a word. Look, he's faithful. God is faithful. If you're facing in something, then he has direction and you can't hear. Here's you a good example, and this happened to me more than once. I told Teresa, I didn't want to go to church. I told her, I said, I'm going to Faith Restoration tonight. It's on Tuesday night or something. I don't know what. And so anyways, I go up there, and I mean, my whole life is strapped. I never had enough. And I'm having to come here and preach what I'm telling you right now, that God will supply all of your... I had to do it by faith. I had to do it by not feelings. I want to come here and say, I hope he kind of shows up for y'all better than he does me. These people getting blessed while I'm strapped. Why? I'm keeping them in faith. I'm feeding them, man. I need to get up and do what they're doing. But my situation's different. No, it's not. See, that's the way you feel, though. You feel like you're all alone. You feel like you're the only one. Y'all the only ones. You feel like you're going to have these feelings and emotions and all of that. That's when you have made quality decisions and you say, I'm not going based on that. I'm not going based on how I feel. I'm not going based on what everybody else says or what the devil says. So I go to church that night. And I'm sitting there and the Lord said, I want you to let Bradley pray for you. I said, okay. No problem. That ain't the first time he's done that. He's done that all my life. So I go up there, you know, and I said, Lord, don't you pray for me, Brad? Okay, yeah, sure. He goes to pray, and all of a sudden he goes, I'm like, uh-oh. He got something. He hooked up. I thought, oh, man. Like, yeah. He opened his eyes. He said, I see you in quicksand. I thought, oh, God, my nose is under. He just don't know it. I mean, I've been quicksand. I got one nostril out of it. He was talking about my life, man. He said, I see you in quicksand. He said, and this quicksand is God. He said, this quicksand's God. And he looked at me and said, I don't understand that. I said, well, okay. Oh, I did. I thought, good Lord God, he cut me off here. This is God, man. You know, and I'm on the way home and I'm like, this is God. And I thought, just forget it, man. He might have missed God. I mean, this can't be God doing this to me. I mean, this can't be God. I'm reasoning this thing, you know. And I get home, Trace, how was the service? I said, oh, it was pretty good. So I told her. I said, yeah. I said, I had Bradley to pray for me. And I mean, I was in a place where I wanted to quit, but I had nowhere to go. You know what I'm saying? I'm strapped. I quit, I lose. Seemed like I follow God, I'm losing. But you know what? I didn't know that I was at that wealthy place. I didn't know that that scripture is fixing to come to pass after 20 years. I didn't know it. I'd held on it, stood on it, believed it, said it. Everybody, at that Scotty over there, always faith this. They just didn't know how many times they was in my presence, and I didn't know how I was going to make it, but I wasn't going to speak it. I was living by faith. I told Tricia, she said, I told you, you're going to have to agree with that lawyer. God ain't going to let us have nothing else. Nothing going to happen. And I thought, God almighty, this sounds just like him. Impossible. You know, he's got me in an impossible place. But the Bible says what? In Luke 9:63, all things are possible to those that believe. I mean, we were under. And bless God, I'm telling you, I come up and I said, okay, bless God, I called that lawyer and blah, blah, blah. I started making faith decisions then that I was going to do what I said, blah, 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 you know. And I mean, it's like in no time at all when the doors begin to open up. God brought me one job. I mean, I sold for a solid week and didn't get one job, man. And when I don't sell, it comes in. I was trying to do it, you know. And I mean, one job came in, and that job delivered me and Teresa 1 week. It delivered us, and we have never been behind again. If he'll do that for somebody like me, which I'm a king, I'm a priest, but I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. He'll do it for you. And you know what? God's going to take you to that more than enough place. John 10:10, Jesus said, he come that you might have life and have it more abundant, not just get by. More than enough. More than enough, praise God. Believe God for Teresa. Teresa been mentioning her a little gator, you know, and she's thinking about a new one, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, things are $20,000, man, for a toy. I don't know about all this, you know. So I released my faith, and I said, God, I thank you for the right deal. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I'll pay cash for it, Lord, when the time is right. Praise God, hallelujah. And you know what? I looked at them all over the place, and I just wasn't feeling it. Then all of a sudden, 2 miles from my house, these people had been building a house, living in a trailer, and they got down to the point to where they wanted furniture in their house, and they put that up for sale, and I was the first one that saw it. And I could double my money right now on what I give for it. I paid them what they wanted for it. And it's mine. And then I pulled, somebody said something to me one time. They said, I need this, you know, blah, 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 if you ever run across one. And I said, okay. Well, somebody give me one. I thought, man, I want this one. You know, I want this one. I spray my fences and stuff. I got three. I mean, I got one over on that farm, and I got tired of hauling it back or divorce. So somebody gave me one, and I fixed it, so I wanted to keep it. Well, got that one. Teresa's had that for a long time. So I go to her, and I said, you know what? Well, I talked to the Lord first, to be honest with you. I thought, well, you tell her, Lord. Tell her I have need of that. So a few days goes by, and I said something. I said, have you thought about that? Do I need to be thinking about it? I ain't thought no more about it since you put it up there in the shop. I thought, God, man, I need you to be thinking about it. So I let another day or two. I thought she'd finish the conversation out. What do you want with it? But she didn't. So I let another day or two go by, and I thought, well, I'm just going to have to confront her with it. So I go to the house, and I said, I feel like the Lord wants us to sow that thing, you know. Well, it's yours. I said, no, it's yours. I said, that's why I ain't done sowed it. Well, just do what you want to with it. And I said, okay. In my mind, oh, God, man, I could get $1,500 out of that, man. I mean, you know, you mind. But you know what? We're believing for a new church. Come on, somebody. We're believing for God's plan. Come on, somebody. I'm believing that when my land needs to sell over there, that I'll get more than what it's worth. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, I sold that. I sold it. I said, God, I can't. I said I could get $1,200 or $1,500, but this is priceless when it becomes a seed to you in the kingdom. It's way more than I'm believing for a hundredfold. What are you believing for? Nothing, really. I don't need nothing. Other than church, new church, all of y'all get straightened out, we all go grow up, we all go further, we all get healed, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm after. Seek first the kingdom. Everything I need will come. See, one day I may need me a 2.5-acre greenhouse just so the Mother Nature can't freeze out my plums. Man, I love them. I really like green plums, you know. I got new teeth, so I need them. So you know what? That might be my greenhouse. I told Teresa that. She said, oh, God. She could see the whole outside back there. I mean, I got an orchard back there, you know. I got fruit trees, and I planted over the last 12 years and all that stuff, you know. And so, you know what? I don't know what my future holds from here out, but God does. So we walk by faith, and we make quality decisions. The Bible says, give, and it shall be. Purpose to be a giver. I can't afford it. That's what's wrong with you. The Bible says, he that has pity on the poor, he said, I will deliver you in affliction. I will bring you off of your sick bed. He said, I will strengthen you. I just read it today and I thought, man, I like them poor people. Woo! He said, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay back. Now, the one I sold it to's probably got more money than me. I had nothing to do with it. That's what I thought. That person don't need no money. They got blah, 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 blah. Don't let your head work. It ain't got nothing to do with that person. It's got to do with you. It's got to do with what God wants. And I told that person, I sent that person a message. They said, I won't stop God's work. Well, it brought glory to God. Number one, God's work, right? So I want to encourage you. Young, middle, whatever it is, make quality decisions based on the Word of God, you know, for your future. Believe God to take you to college. Believe God to give you the best college. Believe God to do, if that's what you want to do. I want to quit school. Ask God to change you because that's not Him. Quitting school, quitting is not an option for Christians. We're going through. The Bible says in Psalms 23, yea, I walk through the valley of school. I asked one of them teenagers, and I'll close with this. Told one of them teenagers, I said, well, y'all about ready to go back to school, ain't you? No, I'm not ready. And I said, well, that's the way we feel about going to work, but we go anyway. Right? They're just in a different ball game than we are. I don't want to go in the morning, man, 100 degrees. Jesus. Monty's, he's riding in air conditioning all day. Yeah, it ain't hot out there, Brother Scotty. What's wrong with you? Window's up. Throw your window down, man. It's hot out here. I'm messing with you. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray.